So the reading is from Luke 24, verses 36 to 50. Luke 24, 36 to 50, and I'm reading from the NIV. While they were still talking about this, Jesus himself stood among them, and he said to them, "Peace be with you." They were startled and frightened, thinking they saw a ghost, and he said to them, "Why are you troubled, and why do doubts rise in your minds? Look at my hands and my feet. It is I myself. Touch me and see. A ghost does not have flesh and bones, as you see I have." When he had said this, he showed them his hands and feet, and while they still did not believe it because of joy and amazement, he asked them, "Do you have anything to eat here?" They gave him a piece of broiled fish, and he took it and ate it in their presence. He said to them, "This is what I told you while I was still with you. Everything must be fulfilled that is written about me in the law of Moses, the prophets, and the Psalms." Then he opened their minds so they could understand the scriptures. He told them, "This is what is written. The Messiah will suffer and rise from the dead on the third day, and repentance for the forgiveness of sins will be preached in his name to all nations, starting and beginning at Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things, and I am going to send you what my Father has promised. But stay in the city until you have been clothed with power from on high." When he had led them out to the vicinity of Bethany, he lifted up his hands and blessed them. Luke 24, 36 to 50. Somebody once said that there are only two ways you can impact or influence human behaviour, what you and I do. Just two ways: manipulation or inspiration. You can manipulate people or you can inspire them. Which would you rather be motivated or influenced by? Good morning, I'm Andy Reid, and today we're talking about the inspired disciples of Jesus Christ on one of the most important days in human history: Jesus Christ's Resurrection Day. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, you lovingly came to your disciples, you showed them who that you were, and you enabled them to understand why you came. Help us to do the same this morning and in our walk with you, whether we're brand new, whether we're just looking, whether we've known you for a while or for most of our lives. Help us again today, afresh, to grasp who you are and why you came. We ask in your rich and mighty, mighty name. Amen. In our reading from Luke today, Jesus appears to this group of his followers 3 days after his death. Men and women who are hidden away and struggling to understand the shattering recent events of their lives. They'd lost their leader. They'd lost the man who they didn't yet grasp fully was God. They'd lost him, and they were frightened. They were troubled, and they were full of doubts. And when we're fearful, when we're troubled, when we're doubtful, facts become almost meaningless. Facts become incidental. And Jesus needed these men and women to grasp some facts. They had quit their jobs, their homes, and had travelled around with him for the best part of 3 years. As Jesus' apprentices, his disciples, they were learning from him. This had been, as we have been reading, this had been challenging enough for them, but it hadn't yet cost them everything. They could return to their lives, their homes, their families. They could return to fishing on the lake. They hadn't yet burnt their bridges. But all that was about to dramatically change on this day. They were about to have their lives influenced to such an extent that they willingly burnt their bridges and walked past the point of no return. What does it mean to burn your bridges? If I were to live my life again, what would I change? It's one of those big questions that as we grow older, we maybe sometimes think about. If I were to live my life again, what changes would I make? What bridges would I cross over? And what bridges would I stay the other side of? Usually we think about decisions we've made that were almost, the difficult ones, almost the impossible to go back on decisions. We might ponder about our family and how we've been with them. Ponder about our careers, our choices we've made in our lives. Ponder about our relationships, or even think about our mistakes. Perhaps the greatest sense of satisfaction comes from those, well, I'm just moving forward anyway, moments, those decisions, when we decide decisively to go forward, when, whatever the cost, we burn our bridges. Those are huge shifts, massive moments we don't forget. Now, I'm old enough to have burnt a whole stack of bridges, but I don't want to spend too much time talking about myself today. Perhaps the best example of bridges being burnt in recent history is a simple illustration of those Allied soldiers and sailors and airmen on D-Day, 1944, June the 6th, 1944. Remember, once those Allied soldiers had hit the beaches of northern France, Normandy, once they'd landed on the beaches, there was no going back. They couldn't return to the ships. They couldn't go home and say, we've had enough for today. They burnt their bridges when they got off the boats and hit the beaches. They had to leave those beaches or they would certainly die. In other words, they had to make progress. They had to move forward. Mission critical for those servicemen on D-Day was to make progress. The success of the war depended on it. The who and the why were the important issues for those men fighting and women fighting. The who was clearly Nazi Germany or Japan if you were in the Far East. The why was because evil needed to be defeated. So the who and the why were crystal clear. And those parameters never changed until the end of the war, the following year, until Nazi Germany and Japan were defeated. The how, the what, the why and the when were very flexible. They usually are in armed conflicts or in life generally. We very often can't control how things happen, where and when they happen. And particularly so when you're in a battle. A lot of the action, the fighting, depends on chance, depends on the outcomes of an attack or a defence, depends on a whole host of things. But two things never change while there's conflict. The who you're fighting and why. The who and the why were constant until the end of the war, defeating the evil of Nazi Germany. The disciples, these young men and women, these terrified, frightened, confused, full of doubt men and women, were about to make a decision that not only radically changed their lives, but even threatened their lives. They were about to decide something which was critical. They were about to burn their bridges. How was Jesus going to motivate them to burn bridges and spend the rest of their lives telling others about him, showing others his love, whatever the cost? How was he going to do that? He did for their frightened, troubled souls what he's been doing throughout human history, for you and for me, and still does today then. He lovingly met their needs with solid, indisputable facts. At that moment, 3 days after his death, they needed to know if Jesus was who he said he was, and if Jesus was why he was asking them to go and change the world for him. They needed to know these things. And Luke records the verses that turned them around. In Luke 24, verse 36, Jesus himself stood among them. And in verse 45, Jesus himself opened their minds. Jesus stood among them 3 days after his death, spent time showing them who he was 3 days after his death, eating with them, allowing them to touch him, talking with them, reassuring them 3 days after his death. And 3 days after his death, he opened their minds as to why he came and lived among them, died in front of them, defeated death for them, and for you and for me. And fearlessly convinced of the facts, they followed him in witness and service to the ends of the world. So why do you get out of bed every morning? What's your purpose? What's your cause? What's your belief? The bottom line for those disciples and for you and me is the who and the why. It's always about the who and the why. Don't worry about the how, the what, the where and the when. Just like those Allied soldiers on D-Day, the critical mission for Jesus on Resurrection Day was to make progress with the disciples. And he did that in two ways. He made progress in the encounters with his disciples, his followers, and he made progress with helping them understand why he came. Progress in the encounters, progress in the understanding. If you remember, the encounters began with the empty tomb and the angels confronting the women appearing before them, these confused and startled women. And then on the road to Emmaus, which Shona told us about just 2 weeks ago, Jesus meets with two of the disciples and spends time with them. And then he appears to many people, but we read in Luke 24 in our verses today that he appeared before his group of disciples. He stood in front of them. There was a succession of encounters. Jesus was making progress with them on the who he was, the risen Son of God. And then there was making progress with the encounters, the angels, with the understanding of who Jesus is and why he came. The angels spoke to the women and said, "Why are you looking for him here? This is a graveyard. This is where dead people are. Jesus is not dead. He's alive." The two disciples on the road to Emmaus, Jesus taught them from the scriptures, from the Old Testament, about why he came. And then the disciples in that room. He opened their minds from the prophets. He opened their minds as to why he came, so that they would have a clearer understanding and make the critical decisions of their lives. And he wants us to do exactly the same. He wants us to imitate those disciples, allow Jesus to come alongside us, and allow Jesus to open our minds. Remember, Jesus reveals to all who love him who he is, and Jesus reveals to all who love him why he came. That's the God we are learning about, and he longs to make progress in your hearts today. For believers of Jesus Christ, it's always, always about the who and the why first. Jesus stood among them and he opened their minds. So what do we do about this? The simple thing is to wait upon the Lord. Not to be in any rush, not to be confused and doubts and more frightened, but just to wait on the Lord. In your secret life with him and in your group life with him. The one thing you can control in your life is how you spend your time with Jesus. Spend that time of the day where you can, meeting with him, listening to him, and get into a group. There are groups in White Inch which are there to help you. Don't do this always on your own. You can't do this alone. Get into small groups. Ask Jesus to come into your groups. Understand why he came. Read the Bible, but take your time. Make contact with Claire Young. Claire heads up our small groups in the church, our life groups, and she will help you find a place where you can meet with other people just like you who are trying to make progress. She's very good at doing that. She will help you to get into a group so that you can make progress. If you're in a group, contact Claire. Let her know what's going on. You can join Deborah Chestnut. Deborah's our minister here at White Inch until our next minister arrives. And Deborah runs a group on Thursday lunchtime on Zoom. And you can join her for prayer. You can join her to pray about the important things. She'd love to hear from you. There are many other groups at White Inch. If you need information, then read the email, read the notice sheets that get sent out to you. And if you're not on that send list, then contact Jackie, our administrator, at info@whiteinchchurch.org. info@whiteinchchurch.org. And she will help you to understand the fuller life of the church. Why does all this matter? Because Jesus came on a mission for you and for me, starting with those disciples and moving out across the world throughout time and history. And he is declaring that he is the Son of God, who came to suffer, came to die, came to rise again from the dead and reconnect us with God so that we can cross the bridge which had previously been blocked because of our sin. We can cross that bridge and meet again with God through Jesus in the Holy Spirit. Jesus came for you and me. He needs, loves us to spend time with him, to understand why, in greater and greater detail, why he came. And we call that discipleship. We call that being his apprentices. We call that making progress. It's pointless trying to figure out how life is supposed to go what we're supposed to do, where we're supposed to be, and when we're supposed to be there. It's pointless. Those details gnaw away at us. What Jesus wants from us is to spend time with him and to understand more of him. Ask Jesus to show you who he is. Ask Jesus to reveal to you why he came. Jesus will stand right beside you and me, and he will reorder our minds. He'll light a fire in your heart. This fire burns bright because we live in his kingdom. Get these essentials into our hearts and watch the fires blaze. Because as Dylan Thomas says, when you burn your bridges, it makes a very nice fire. Amen. So I'd like to pray as we close. Pray for you and for me and for our lives as we attempt to encounter more of Jesus, who he is, and understand more of why he came. Hopefully, after we've heard the blessing sung over us at the end of this service in a few moments, we can log in to the Zoom link and spend time with each other, chatting about our week, telling each other how we've been, learning a little bit more about our lives, and getting inspired by each other to spend more time with Jesus. And very soon, I imagine we will be meeting again in building, in some way or other. Right now, Jesus wants to reach out into our hearts. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, you long to spend more and more time with us, standing among us, both as individuals and as groups. Father, you long to explain more and more through your Holy Spirit as we spend time in your word and with each other why you came. Help us, Father, to grow deeper with you, to understand these important truths as we make progress with you. Help us to see that you, the Lord of the Spirit, offer total freedom to us, total freedom. We yearn for more of that freedom in our lives. Lead us, Father, into that freedom, we pray, by your Holy Spirit. Come among us. Stay with us. Help us to understand. Guide and protect us and our loved ones as we go from this meeting. Spend time with us in the week and reunite us again in our groups and when we next meet, next Sunday. We ask these things in your mighty name, the name of Jesus. Amen.